Today on The King is Coming.
That in the last days during the tribulation, that the ancient city of Babylon will somehow be refurbished, be rebuilt, be added onto, be modernized so that Antichrist can bring his headquarters to that place and he can rule it both politically, religiously, and economically. The Bible says a one-world government is coming. What's it going to look like? Find out next on The King is Coming.
Based on biblical revelations about the coming man of sin, Interview with the Antichrist will cause your imagination to soar and whet your appetite for more information on end times prophecy. The speculative account from Jeff Kinley is more than just a suspenseful mystery. It will give you a window into the character of the Antichrist and how our last days could unfold according to Scripture's ultimate plot. For any gift of $20 or more to The King is Coming, get your copy of Interview with the Antichrist. Call now or go to thekingiscoming.com today. Thank you. The Bible says in the last days a lone figure will rise. He will be the counterfeit Messiah, the man of sin, Satan with skin on. He is Antichrist. In The King is Coming seven-part video series, Antichrist, The Coming Prince of Darkness, Jeff Kinley digs into the prophetic scriptures on the coming of the Antichrist. Who will he be? When is he coming? How will we know who he is? This series will bring imagination to life as you study the character, the deception, and the mystery surrounding the coming Antichrist. To get your copy today of Antichrist, The Coming Prince of Darkness, call the number on your screen or go to thekingiscoming.com now. Thank you.
We're talking about this incredible series on Antichrist, the coming Prince of Darkness. And we're finding out really from Scripture what the Bible says about history's mystery man. He's the ultimate enigma, the one about whom the world really knows nothing about, the one the world will never see coming because he comes out of the shadows. But biblically informed Christians can know what Antichrist is like. They can know approximately when he's coming. They can know what his character is going to be like. And we're going to talk about today exactly what his government is going to be like as well. Now, we've defined Antichrist as the one who is coming as a counterfeit Messiah in a post-rapture world. He is what basically his signing of the peace treaty begins the seven-year tribulation when he signs a peace treaty with Israel. We know that Antichrist will be inhabited by Satan. He'll be energized and authorized by Satan himself. We know that from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We know it from Revelation chapter 13. In fact, there's only two people in the Bible that's ever described as having Satan really energizing them or being in them. And one is Judas Iscariot, and the other is Antichrist. And so this man is going to be an incredible figure in the end times. In fact, as we said, he's the most significant end times figure in the Bible, with the exception of Jesus Christ. So he's a very important person, someone we should definitely talk about. And so we've been surveying sort of the landscape of Antichrist and what he's going to be like, when he's going to come, what he's going to say. And so today we're going to talk about the global governance system that Antichrist is going to set up. Now, keep in mind, there's a lot of things we could say about Antichrist, things that we are not covering in this series that you can find out more in the book, Interview with the Antichrist, which we're offering here on The King is Coming. Don't miss this incredible apocalyptic fiction novel that will lead you to 30 questions about Antichrist at the end of the book. Okay, here's what we want to find out today. What's Antichrist's government going to be like? Now, to find out, first of all, kind of the total context of what's going on, we have to go back to the book of Daniel. In Daniel's revelation here, he's giving the story of his encounter with King Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel's been taken captive during this time, the 70 years of captivity of the Jewish people, him along with some other folks you may know as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel's taken as a young man, but he soon finds himself being promoted into the government. And so Daniel is a man that's very close to God. He's a prayer warrior. He goes to God every day. And so he's reading the scripture. We know he read the book of Jeremiah while he was in captivity. And so Daniel is one that that really understands the Bible. So Nebuchadnezzar has this dream. And in this dream, he has a dream of this grand statue. And the Bible tells us that the statue has as its head a head of gold. And underneath it is a chest of silver. And then thighs of bronze, and a midsection of bronze, and then thighs of iron. And then finally, it ends with these feet, these 10 toes that are composed of iron and clay. Now, who can possibly know what that means? So Nebuchadnezzar calls all of his soothsayers, all of his wise men before him, and they come before him and they can't answer it. They can't tell him the interpretation of his dream. And so Daniel is called. And so in verse 27 of chapter 2 of Daniel, it says, Daniel answered before the king and said, as for the mystery about what the king has inquired, neither wise men, conjurers, magicians, nor diviners are able to declare it to the king. He says in verse 28, however, he says, there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what he will take place in the latter days. And this was your dream and the visions of your mind while you were on your bed. And Daniel then goes on to explain that the statue represents different kingdoms that begin with Babylon and end with a future version of Rome. In fact, throughout the passage, we see that that these kingdoms are identified as Babylon. The history tells us Babylon was followed by Medo-Persia. Medo-Persia was followed by Greece, which was followed by the Kingdom of Rome. And then the legs of the statue sort of split, representing the two different expressions of the Roman kingdom, the Eastern and the Western kingdom. And we know that Rome came to an end around the 4th century and then around 1100 in the different variations of that kingdom. And then there's no more Rome. But wait a minute, there's more to the statue. There's still the feet of the statue and the 10 toes. And the Bible tells us in Daniel that these 10 toes represent 10 kingdoms. In fact, he says in verse 42, and as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of pottery, so some of the kingdom will be strong and some of the kingdom will be brittle. There's going to be strong and weak kingdoms in Antichrist kingdom. He says in verse 44, and in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed. And that kingdom will not be left for another people. It will crush and put an end to all these kingdoms, but will itself endure forever. He's speaking about Christ's ultimate millennial kingdom that will come and crush the 10 kingdoms that will be the final last days expression of Satan's kingdom on the earth. Now, that's chapter 2. Over in chapter 7 of Daniel, Daniel has his own vision. And in this vision, he sees these kingdoms are portrayed not as a statue, but rather as wild beasts. And we see in verse 4 of chapter 7, the first beast is like a lion that had wings of an eagle. And in the second beast, it says, was like a bear. And it was raised up on one side and three ribs were in its mouth. Between its teeth, thus they said to it, arise, devour, and much meat. The next kingdom was verse 6, and I kept looking, behold, another one was a kingdom like a leopard, and it had on its back four wings of a bird, and the beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. And then afterwards it says, I looked in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terribly and extremely strong. And it had large iron teeth, and it devoured and crushed and trampled down the remainder with its teeth. And it was different from all the other beasts that were on the field. And then it says it had 10 horns in the end. So these four empires that are going to be upon the earth, and we see those described in Daniel chapter 2 and chapter 7. But then there's a final form that comes out of this Roman Empire. And now we know from Daniel chapter 9, that the Antichrist, as we'll talk about later, that the Antichrist is going to come from some form of the Roman Empire. It says in verse 26 of Daniel 9, it says, then after the 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off and have nothing. And the people of the prince who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. And its end will come with a flood. Even to the end, there will be war. Desolations are determined. So at some point, there's going to come a nation that's going to come and destroy the temple and the city of Jerusalem. Well, that happened in 70 AD when Rome came and destroyed Jerusalem. But the prince who is to come is going to come from those people. And so that's why we say that Antichrist is going to come rise out of the ancient Roman Empire. Now, that could mean he could be from Italy. It could mean he could be from anywhere during or in that parameters of the ancient Roman Empire. But it says here in Daniel 7:24, back in 7:24, that these nations are 10 kings or 10 united nations. So that's where we get the idea that Antichrist's kingdom is going to be some call it a 10-nation confederacy or a 10-nation alliance. You know, some today have said, well, maybe that's the European Union. I think the European Union has somewhere around 26, 27 nations in it right now. You say, well, if it were the European Union, how would they get down to 10 nations? Well, that's where I believe the rapture comes into play. Because when the rapture occurs, it's going to bring desolation and devastation and absolute catastrophe to planet Earth. There'll be some nations that will not be able to viably survive after the rapture. So there could be, conceivably speaking, some sort of conglomeration of nations together as one nation. For example, it's conceivable that all of the Americas could come together. Canada and America and Latin America, Central America and South America could all just be the Americas. That could be one of those nations. We don't know that for a fact. But there's many other things that we know about these 10 nation kingdoms that we'll talk about next when we come back on The King is Coming. We're living in a world filled with chaos, confusion, and quite frankly, wickedness. The world needs Jesus now at this time more than ever before. The King is Coming is helping to meet that need by bringing hope, help, and clarity to people who desperately need it. Please consider a donation to this ministry. Be a monthly donor, be a weekly donor, anything to help partner with us to help get the gospel out to the world. We appreciate your prayerful consideration. We've been talking about these 10 kings or these 10 nations that will form Antichrist's global governance system in the last days. And there's so much that we could say about this, but one of the things we need to point out is that this expression of the Roman Empire, which comes out of this vision from both Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel in Daniel 2 and Daniel 7, has never existed before. And nowhere in history have we seen this existed. In fact, in Revelation chapter 13, and this is obviously speaking of a future kingdom, it says, "And he stood on the sand of the seashore, and I saw a beast coming up out of the sea." Now, we saw in a previous study that the word beast is a Greek word therion. We saw that some 35, 36 times in the book of Revelation, it speaks of this idea of a beast, and it refers to Antichrist. But the Antichrist is going to rise up out of the sea of humanity, and it says that he's having 10 horns and 7 heads, and on his horns were 10 diadems or crowns or, you know, symbols of rulership. And on these horns were 10 diadems, and on his heads were blasphemous names. So these nations will unite in a blasphemous narrative against the God of heaven, because Antichrist is posturing himself and positioning himself to be in place of Christ. He's the one that's over these nations. And so we know that this hasn't happened before in the past. Now, listen, here's the deal. You can either take Revelation as what it says at face value, as literal, or you can just say, well, this just symbolizes something. We don't know what it is. But here's the thing. When you look at all of the Old Testament prophecies concerning what happened at Christ's first coming, every one of those prophecies were fulfilled. How? Literally, precisely, exactly as prophesied. That track record tells us that we can look to all the forward prophecies, the future ones, about Antichrist, about Jesus, about the world, about humanity, and expect those to be literally fulfilled exactly as they're portrayed. And we talked about before, now there certainly are symbols in the book of Revelation, But typically, those symbols are explained within the passage, sometimes in the same verse, and then, if not in the same passage, other places in Scripture give us insight into those symbols. But that's how we take it in its plain sense. I love what Dr. Heinzen and Dr. Tim LaHaye used to say, that when the plain sense of the Bible makes sense, seek no other sense, lest you end up with nonsense. And so we want to simply look at the plain sense of the Bible. So back to these kingdoms here. This aspect of the Roman kingdom being in a 10-nation confederacy or a 10-nation alliance has never existed before on planet Earth. And then also says in Daniel chapter 2, verses 34 and 35, that this revived Roman Empire will suddenly be crushed as a result of this stone being cast at its feet, aimed at the revived Roman Empire. Rome gradually sort of ran out of gas, if you will, or petered out, or eventually conquered, but it didn't happen suddenly. But the Bible does tell us at the end of Revelation 19 that Antichrist's kingdom will come to a sudden end by something coming from heaven. That something is a someone. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the king that is coming. And so we see that this kingdom will be crushed. And so this is another reason why we believe this is an end times kingdom of Antichrist. And then finally, as we've said, if Daniel's prophecies regarding the previous predictions in the global empires that he talks about in the statue and in the four beasts, if those were fulfilled literally through history, and we know that for a fact, then the future kingdom will also be fulfilled in that way as well. Now, here's a big question that comes up when we start talking about Antichrist's kingdom. Where are his headquarters going to be located? Some people say, well, it's going to be Rome. Other people saying that's going to be somewhere else. Where, maybe it's Brussels, Belgium. How do we know? Well, the Bible actually tells us where his kingdom is going to be located, where his capital. It tells us that it's going to be, according to Revelation 6, 13, 17, and 18, all these chapters put together, that's going to be Babylon. Babylon. Now, what do we know about Babylon? Well, we know that Antichrist's kingdom is going to be comprised of basically three components. There'll be a political component, an economic component, and a religious component as well. And during this time, the seven-year tribulation, the Antichrist will headquarter his kingdom, I believe, at Babylon. Now, Babylon, both symbolically and actually, represents global evil and an attempt to do away with God and to bring the whole world together. We saw that in Genesis chapter 10 and Genesis 11. She's pictured all throughout the scripture as being the personification of evil. In fact, the word Babylon is used some 300 times in the Bible. And every single time she refers to a literal place, perhaps with the exception of one, although there are many Bible scholars that believe that's Babylon as well. And so if every single time God refers to Babylon, it's Babylon, then it certainly should be Babylon here. Now, what are these three aspects, these three prongs of Antichrist's Babylonian kingdom, what do they represent? Well, the religious aspect represents the worship that Antichrist is going to get. We'll talk about that in a future episode. The political aspect represents the fact that the government is going to be a global government that's going to rule over all. And then the economic aspect of it refers to the fact that there's going to be a one world global economy, which we'll also talk about here in a future episode. So Babylon is the personification of the tribulation era, evil empire and government. She's pictured in Revelation 17, the religious aspect of her as a prostitute riding on the beast, on the back of the beast or the Antichrist, where she talks about in Revelation 17, she's portrayed as the center of an apostate world religion. Say, Jeff, what's that world religion going to be? We don't know exactly, but it's going to be a godless form of a worship that eventually will lead to a worship of Antichrist and of Satan himself. We know that from Revelation chapter 13. But let's just ask this question. Is Babylon really Babylon? I mean, could it mean something else? Well, what does the scripture say? Because some people say that, you know, based on 1 Peter 5:13, where Peter says the saints at Babylon greet you, and they thought, well, Peter was at Rome. There's also scholars that believe, no, Peter was actually at Babylon when he wrote that. There's Revelation 17:9 that says that the seven kingdoms that represent Antichrist or Satan's full orb of his kingdoms throughout history, that those seven kingdoms are refer to seven hills. And they say, well, Rome is a city built on seven hills, so it has to be Rome. But if you actually study the context, these seven mountains are explained as seven heads or seven kings in the same passage, which represents seven kingdoms. And he says here about these seven kingdoms that in chapter 17, he says, verse 9, these are the seven heads, which are seven mountains on which the woman sits. So how do we know they're not Rome, seven hills of Rome? He says that they are seven kings in verse 10. He says five of these kings have fallen. One of these kings is, and the other has not yet to come. But when he comes, he must remain a little while. So what are these seven kingdoms? Well, they represent the ways in which Satan has made attempts to rule the world throughout history. That's what Satan is basing this whole historical argument on. And the seven kingdoms are this. It says five have fallen. That would be Egypt, Babylon, Assyria, Medo-Persia, and Greece. Then it says one currently is. Well, what kingdom currently was during the time of John? That would be the Roman Empire. Then it says one is yet to come. That would be the revived Roman Empire, or what some have called Rome 2.0. That's the 10-king confederacy. That's the 10 toes of the statue there. And so six separate times in Revelation, the city of Babylon refers to Antichrist's capital city. We see it in chapter 14, 16, 17, 18, and three times in that same chapter, chapter 18. So there's evidence here that the ancient city of Babylon is going to somehow be refurbished, be rebuilt, and be established as Antichrist's future kingdom. Also, this is another interesting statistic here, is that the word Babylon is mentioned 44 times in the book of Revelation. Now, there are only 404 verses in Revelation. So that means that about 11% of the entire book of Revelation talks about Babylon. That's a highly significant number, which we'll talk more about when we come back on The King is Coming. We're living in a world filled with chaos, confusion, and quite frankly, wickedness. The world needs Jesus now, at this time, more than ever before. The King is Coming is helping to meet that need by bringing hope, help, and clarity to people who desperately need it. Please consider a donation to this ministry. Be a monthly donor, be a weekly donor, anything to help partner with us to help get the gospel out to the world. We appreciate your prayerful consideration. We're talking about Antichrist's 10-king kingdom that will emerge in the last days. That somehow through a global crisis in the latter days, the nations of the earth will conglomerate into 10 regions perhaps over which 10 kings will rule. Some have said that these 10 kings represent different types of media or medicine or that type of thing. And certainly that will be an intricate part and a part of these kingdoms. But undergirding this whole thing of these 10 nations are men that are over these kingdoms that are ruling essentially the whole world. We've talked about how some countries will have to coalesce together in order to bring about this 10-nation confederacy, over which Antichrist will be the supreme ruler, and he will accept no rebellion in his kingdom, the Bible tells. But here's the thing about this 10-nation confederacy, is that as we see the world getting closer to this global governance system, as we've said before, all that it takes is one huge crisis to basically cause all the leaders of the world to say, that's it. We've got to stop being these independent sovereign nations. We've got to come together. The world is one big great neighborhood. And guess what? The neighborhood is on fire. And we need to come together to put the fire out. That's going to be one of Antichrist's messages, to bring that sense of calm and that sense of peace to the final latter days scenario. So we've talked about Babylon being a literal city. It's mentioned 300 times in the Bible, 44 times out of 404 verses in the book of Revelation. That's 11% of the book of Revelation. Now, there are also many practical reasons why Antichrist would want to headquarter his kingdom there at Babylon and to rebuild ancient Babylon. Let me give you a couple of them here. Number one is that the area is rich with oil reserves. And listen, right now, if you've got the oil, you've got the power, you've got the money, you can basically bring the whole world to a stop if you cut off the oil. And so I believe Antichrist wants the spoils of oil in Israel, and I believe he wants it in this whole region here near Babylon. Secondly, it's a strategic geographical location between continents that are surrounding. In other words, it's the cradle of civilization. It's where the whole world, basically, around this area, where the whole world was begun. Civilization came from this area. And so it's a very kind of strategically located point on the earth. And we also talked about how it's a symbol of evil. But Revelation takes that a step further and tells us that because it's located on the banks of the Euphrates River, two times in Revelation, that it mentions in chapter 9 and verse 16, or chapter 9 and chapter 16, that it's a hotbed for demonic activity. There's a special amount of demonic activity that takes place right there, right around Babylon, right at the Euphrates River. And so those are three reasons why Satan would want to have this. And also, as we said, just the symbol of evil that goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 12. So we can't be dogmatic, but I believe very firmly that in the last days during the tribulation, that the ancient city of Babylon will somehow be refurbished, be rebuilt, be added onto, be modernized so that Antichrist can bring his headquarters to that place and he can rule it both politically, religiously, and economically. And so whether it's the European Union coming together, whether it's the World Health Organization contributing, International Monetary Fund, World Economic Forum, the Group of 10, the G20, the World Bank, I believe all of these are going to capitulate and are going to sign on and somehow be formed into this 10-nation kingdom over which Antichrist will rule the world. My friends, globalism is coming. Our own president is a pro-globalist president. The president and premiers and prime ministers of countries all over the world are voting for this globalist empire to come forth in the last days. And Satan is going to deliver that empire to them. He's coming to unite the world and to bring everybody together under one government, under one person. That person is Antichrist. But why is he going to do that? What's Satan's ultimate motivation? What's the whole purpose in him doing any of this stuff right now? And we're going to talk about that next on The King is Coming. So make sure that you stay tuned for that. And don't forget to get the whole DVD series together along with the book, Interview with the Antichrist. We'll talk more about Antichrist next on The King is Coming.
We're living in an era defined by global unrest, natural disasters, political strife, and ever-shifting morality. Though we may feel tempted to question God's presence, these trends actually signal the nearness of Christ. For your gift of $20 or more to World Prophetic Ministry today, you will receive a copy of Jeff Kinley's book, Aftershocks. Learn how to live in this chaotic world with complete confidence in God's plan. Call today. World Prophetic Ministries is recognized as a church and religious organization by the Internal Revenue Service, and thus all donations to World Prophetic Ministries are recognized as charitable contributions under the IRS code.